All right. Well, good morning. It's my blessing and pleasure and delight to introduce Ralph Braun as our featured speaker. How do you give the introduction for Ralph? I tell you, it's kind of interesting, too, because with all the newer families that have come in here in recent years, it really hit me in putting the list together of the members that we were praying for in our prayer meeting 2 weeks ago, how many folks were not here when Ralph and Dorothy were here, when Ralph was the pastor. For 13 years, Ralph was the pastor of Austin Bible Church, and a significant number of the folks that are here today were not here back in those years. So it's one of those occasions where you think an introduction doesn't need to be done, and then you say, oh, no, wait a minute, it needs to be done, and it should be done. We appreciate Ralph so much in the Lord, and it's a delight to have him speak. The conference speaker's coming in. We got Ralph here already, Hugh Crowder's here already, more are coming in this evening and tomorrow morning. Most of the speakers are having a single session, but I've given Ralph 5 sessions. Ralph has a burden on his heart for the whole counsel of God's Word, and Ralph's going to give a session this morning, a session this evening. He'll be speaking again on Wednesday night, and then next Sunday he'll repeat one morning, one evening. So that's 5 sessions total. All of that will be found in your schedule, in your pamphlet, so you want to make sure you get one before you go. All right, Ralph, come and bring us the Word, please.
I turned it. You might add guardrails for old pastors. Turn with me in the Word of God to Acts chapter 20, verse 27. Acts chapter 20, verse 27. I look out on the congregation, and you dear people, I know some of you, and of course some of you are new to me, but this building is new. First time we proclaimed the Word of God in the old church over there was in January of 1982. So give us a little more time. It'll be almost 30 years. The Lord has been good. What a place to minister the Word of God. What a joy it is to be with you all. I was sitting in Dallas Seminary Chapel in 1950s. In fact, it's been 50 years since we graduated from there, and all of a sudden a classmate in a prayer meeting in the afternoon said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And everybody jumped because we were half asleep. That wasn't your problem this morning. I thank you for the ministry that has been carried on, and it might interest you because in the latter times of our ministry here at Austin, my mother and father had some real physical problems. Mother was dying of cancer, and Dad had burned himself horribly in an asparagus patch, trying to burn out the old foliage and so on and so forth. And so we were back and forth. And if I remember right, Pastor Bob, you had 303 times that you spoke here while I was still pastor. So that was a great way to break in a man who could minister the Word of God in all of its counsel. All right, notice chapter 20, verse 27, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel or all the purpose of God." I felt this passage was very, very needed at this particular time, not only in my own life, but in a new ministry as far as the church building is concerned. Of course, you are the church. You, as believers, are. It says in verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood." So obviously when I look at this, I think, what is the whole counsel of God's Word? The whole purpose of God's Word. When I was called to preach in 1951, next year will be 60 years, and I knew very little about the things of God's Word. Some of you heard this before, but I want to repeat it because I'm especially going to gear some of my ministry to you young men who are in training, because that really is a heartthrob of my soul to see young men trained to replace us who are older and are getting closer to being with the Lord face to face. But back in those particular days, when the Spirit of God was moving in me as a young person, one of the things that meant a great deal to me was those who were older in Christ and who gave information to me so that I could understand what the whole purpose of God was. And so through the years, I've been developing this because it's very important to do that. Because you see, the way I started out the ministry after my call in 1951, I'm sitting back probably almost where my wife is sitting. And the preacher is up there, and we've just had 2 whole weeks of protracted meetings. That means long revival meetings. And Billy Mann and myself were sitting back there, and he says, Ralph has been called to preach. He was 17 years old. He said, now we'll sing one song, and he will have the morning service. That's the way I started my ministry out. 1951. God has been faithful. I've had to start from scratch and learn and learn and learn, and I'm still just scratching the surface of the tremendous truths of God's Word. To begin my message this morning, about a year ago, one of the men who has been in the ministry in the South came back where he was raised in Morris County, Kansas, where we live, and he said, we need revival. And I caught that because it was quite interesting that he said, we need it. And I said, who does it start with? And he said, well, it starts with us. So I began to pray that there might be revival. Now, revival can refer to ministering to believers, but it also, in our part of the country, and I think in most parts of the country, to lead people to Christ. And so I'm involved in an awful lot of speaking engagements. It comes out about twice a day, 7 days a week. And I've always taught daily, and I feel if I'm not, where's the positive volition? I want to find it wherever it is. And so I was in a men's breakfast in a cafe, and we speak there every once in a while. Another man will speak. And he took revival, and he made an acrostic, R-E-V-I-V-A-L. I can't remember exactly what he said, but what it was really hit me hard. And I went up to him afterwards. I wanted to call him Gene Autry. His name is Jim Autry. And I said, look, I need that revival. So I was more or less ministering in our local church, and thank God for those people. They've been faithful through the years. That particular church was started in 1865 there in Morris County, Parkerville Baptist Church. And I was ministering there and so on. I surveyed with some of the other Bible teaching ministers in our area, and we found that 70% of the people in that local church, a local county, did not go to church. And so I decided that I would start in a revival concept in my own soul to go back to the pastor-teacher doing the work of an evangelist. And I'll tell you, I'm so excited this morning about it, I cannot even begin to say what I want to say. I almost get emotional. I'm not really an emotional people that way, especially behind the pulpit. But I was wondering, what is the whole counsel of God's Word? What's His whole purpose? Evangelism, edification, and where I am right now, examination. What do you mean by examination? I mean Revelation 2 and 3. What do I mean by that? What about agape love? Do I have that in my soul? Is He examining me? And with agape love, I build philos love on top of agape love. And I put those two pure loves coming down from the Father, which is so much needed. Or I get to the second deal, and am I going to be faithful unto death? He's examining me that way. I want a strong finish as far as God's Word is concerned. And then I come to the third church, and you've got idolatry and pornography there. First with Balaam and then with Jezebel. And I didn't know how to keep some of the thoughts out of my mind that had been coming into my mind. I thought when I got older I wouldn't have these kind of thoughts coming. And then it got to the point where I would just use God's Word in the renewing of the mind. And when a bad thought comes, I quote a scripture, I quote a scripture, I quote a scripture. It stops that, just like that. The renewing of the mind with the Word of God. And then when we get on through chapter 5, you have a name that you live, but you're dead. How in the world do I revive people in the things of the Lord, incarnate myself? And then, of course, we've got the open door of the Philadelphia church. And we're talking about opening doors. And we're talking about spiritual gifts this morning. Excellent. But what hit me was the Laodicean church because of Revelation 3:19 and this examination. Those whom I love, phileo. Those I want to have rapport with. Those I want to come in and dine. Revelation 3:20. We use it as evangelistic verse sometimes, but it's really a Christian verse of fellowship with the living Jesus Christ. And I think some of us don't understand the difference between going to the Father in prayer, which we should, in the name of Jesus Christ, and actually fellowshipping with Jesus Christ in the Word. Where in that Ephesians 4 passage, we come into His statureship. Examination. You realize that when we were teaching in Austin Bible Church, and I had to come back to Council Grove, a Sunday here, a Sunday there, and whatever, and sit with my dad, who was getting into Alzheimer's and those particular things, but the Lord showed me all the deficiencies of my ministry. I was the hot stuff sometimes when I was younger. And He showed me all these deficiencies. He said, first of all, your prayer life is pitiful. I love to teach for prayer. When I went over to Ireland in the early days, and we with Ian Paisley, they said, we're going to have an all-night prayer meeting. Now, when I say that to you, and you'd have an all-night prayer meeting here, you'd say, what in the world would you pray all night for? I run out of things to pray in 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. 30 minutes? Well, but you see, evangelism in a local church, it has to be there. There has to be newly born-again people in Christ in our local churches. Secondly, they need to be edified like they are here as well. And then the examination process where the Spirit of God puts us through the pressure cooker of testings. And God knows the testings we've had through the years. People have asked me from time to time, how much stress have you sensed in the ministry? I can't remember any. But I'm probably not telling the truth. Because it's just like you ladies when you have a new boy or girl. You go through the stress of it, but you're happy when that child is born. You might go through stress in your local church. You might go under tremendous attack. But when you see God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ liberating that ministry, you've really got something going for you. Now, let's go to the revival concept. Let's go to doing the work of an evangelist as a pastor teacher. I'm just thrilled when God the Father allows me to deal with people along the lines of Jesus Christ, faith in Christ, faith in Christ alone. So I was praying about it. We have an interesting place in Council Grove called a bakery donut shop. And they do other things like serve meals and so on. But Doug and Sherry Wilkerson are the owners. I knew Sherry was a believer. I knew Doug had some real problems because he had said at the age of 13 he got into drinking. He got later on into this and that. He was an OTR, an over-the-road trucker. And after his third DUI, they took his license away from him. So at the present time, he's been carried around in a car by someone else driving him. Doug said, you know, I've just received Christ as my own personal Savior. And he said, I still have this tremendous appetite for alcohol and what have you. He said, I want to not only have you minister to me, but to all these men in the coffee shop. Now, you must understand these guys that come to a coffee shop. By the way, if you travel around the United States, if you really want to have fun, especially you men, these men's groups meet around tables, you know, and they discuss everything under the sun except what the Word of God has to say. They discuss Obama, they discuss politics, they discuss the weather, they discuss their jobs, they discuss their wives, they discuss everything. And it gets a little raw sometimes. Anyway, Doug said, look, I want you to pray with me on a daily basis. Can you imagine this? I'm praying with him on a daily basis. I am finally to the point when they've accepted me in that coffee shop where I go every day, and they say, preacher, what makes you tick? Why are you here with us? Do you have ulterior motives in mind? And I said, of course I do. I want you to enjoy the good news of the gospel. Every once in a while, Doug will say, let's just hit them with prayer. Or why don't you just come in with a Bible, lay it down, and start to teach them while they're drinking their coffee? We have a retired airline pilot. We have a longshoreman from Los Angeles, California. We have a professor of French and Spanish at Wichita University that's retired. We have all these people. We have a horse racer who bets horses and trains horses. We've got these people in this little burg of Council Grove. And then finally he said, let's have a Thursday night Bible class. It's an old-fashioned class because there's unbelievers in it. Just like it used to be in the 60s and the 70s when we got started with the walk through the Bible. And in this particular class, which is growing, I won't have it this Thursday night. Obviously, I'm here in the grace of God and His will. But the Spirit of God is beginning to move among the people. Then what has happened is that I say to these men when they become believers, or I say to Doug, I say, Doug, you need to have your mind renewed with the Word of God. You must be in the Word and so on. I said, do you know any scripture verses? Yeah, he said, I know half of John 3:16. I said, what's that? He said, God so loved the world. I said, okay, that's the start. When I went to Iowa in an intern ministry in 2003 for 3 years, these dear men had been on the board for years and years, many of them, and had been in a good Bible-teaching church. Dallas Mann, and then Larry Hoffman, who I'd helped train, and so on and forth before that. Paul Schwenbecker, and so on. And so I said to the men, let's have a spiritual board meeting. We're not here just to discuss how to mow the grass, or who's going to mow the grass, or all that. Let's have a spiritual board meeting. And so I said, what we'll do is I will quote a verse of Scripture, and then I will pray a sentence prayer, and then you do likewise. Guess what? Guy raised his hand. He says, I don't know any Scripture. Another guy said, I don't know any Scripture either. He said, I've never memorized anything. And another guy said, I haven't either. And he said, let alone pray. And he said, pretty soon you'll try to get us to pray with our wives. I didn't fault these men. As a pastor, I had not emphasized throughout my ministry the way I should to learn the Word of God in the sense of using it. Not just memorize it, but use it, use it, use it. I'll tell you something. Renewing of the mind is where you get into the Word of God. And you know it, and it goes through your mind, and it stops those bad thoughts because of that 2 Corinthians 10:4-6 passage where every thought is brought into obedience of Christ. I love it. But I'm on evangelism this morning, and I saw something last Thursday in the coffee class that I have never seen before. Go to the book of Acts, all right? The book of Acts, chapter 1. I mean, the book of Romans, chapter 1. The book of Romans, chapter 1. I had heard of this many years ago, but I hadn't followed up on it. You know Romans real well. Many of you have taught it as pastors and so on. But notice in Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth or suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Do you see that? Are clearly seen. This is creation. Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Notice, are clearly seen. Did you know there's such a thing as sight evangelism? Sight, S-I-G-H-T, evangelism? As well as what? Faith evangelism. Years ago, before we turn to Genesis chapter 1, a man by the name of Ed Peterson came to me. His wife had been in Bible classes. There were about 8 of them that were in a walk through the Bible class. And I'll be in that some tonight to explain what that is for some of you that may not be sure what we mean when we say a walk Bible class. And there had been eight ladies who had been in a liberal church who had taught the Ten Commandments as a way to get to heaven. And in the walk through the Bible class in McCook, Nebraska, they all received Christ as Savior. The ladies had the power in that particular church, and so that church dumped the man who was a liberal that did not believe in the virgin birth and called a Bible-teaching man. So the walk through the Bible resulted in salvation as Christ was presented, you see. Well, the father, or the wife of the one lady, said to me, who had the big laundry in McCook, I want a blankety-blank Bible class in my home. He took God's name in vain asking for a Bible class. Wow. Okay, so we're in his class. He's sit there. He's listening. He's there every night. One night he says, Ralph, let's go outside. We went outside. He said, you know something, Ralph? Look at that. God did it. I said, Ed, you're God conscious. You're God conscious. So I've been taking these guys' coffee group. I said, let's go out and look at the stars. Who made it? Who did that?
Oh, God did. Yeah. Well,
yeah, God did that. That's sight. That's sight. That's what he says here. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. That's sight evangelism. That's God consciousness. And so go back and look at this, because what a beautiful thing this is in Genesis 1. And I was looking at this and I was giving this to the people. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, I'm not a King James only, but I'm using my dad's Bible. You know why I'm using my dad's Bible? It's got big print. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, or the heavens and the earth. If you believe that, you're a creationist. If you don't, well, I suppose you would say evolution, okay? So God did it, and God has life. If you want a divine outline of the Word of God, you've got eternal life, absolute light, and perfect love, the three L's. See, that's an overall concept. And this is what I love to do with people. I love to give them an overall view of the Bible, all the way from God in eternity past to God in eternity future, and then to walk through Operation Guam, which is God, who created the universe, you, A, angels, and man. He didn't make us robots. He made us able to make decisions. The big thing of making decisions is quite an interesting thing. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. In evangelism, I will ask these men, who made light? They'll say, well, Edison. Well, before Edison, who made it? God. Because I find that I can give them the gospel if they become what? Very God conscious. Very God conscious. And I'd like to say something, this development of spiritual gifts this morning. Thank you. When we started the church in Oregon, I found something quite interesting. The spiritual gifts in the pastor-teacher, you can do the work of an administrator and have God's blessing. And then God raises up an administrator like Hugh Hatley, who many of you remember. Okay? Okay? I could do the work of mercy. Because there's no one there that's really wanting to be merciful to those in the hospitals or what. And God raises up somebody with the gift of mercy. Or maybe at the start, to keep the church doors open, we would give most of what came in and outside to keep the doors open. The gift of giving. But you could do all of those particular works, even though primarily you had a pastor-teacher gift. Right now, I'm doing more evangelism than I'm doing teaching. Because that is what is needed, and if there's an evangelist around and I can find him, then he can do what I'm doing. And I'll train these people up in the things of the Lord who are getting saved. Already they want a local church in Council Grove to be started, but we'll start a fellowship time in homes. That's where we are right now. And the home church movement, of course, we understand that, and I agree with what you said. But to be able to give them some of the basic things of the Word of God so that they can understand. Now, do you understand eternal life? In one of my classes, the lady said, who's been in church all her life, and she's in my class in high school, so she's my age, 76. She says, I have no assurance of salvation. She said, I read this thing where few can enter into it, and this camel eye thing, which I don't understand, she said. And she said, I just don't know whether I'm going to get there. In the Word of God, it says that they taught in the temple, that's publicly, and they taught what? House to house. I love, and have since 63, sat across a table with people in hundreds, if not thousands, of homes, and said, do you understand how to be a living sacrifice? No, I've never been taught that. Do you understand how to walk in the Spirit? I've never been taught that. Do you have your armor on? What's that? Do you know what spirit baptism is? I know what water baptism is. That's part of getting saved. Huh, what? Oh, okay, yeah. Well, anyway, and you sit there and you say in black and white, what does the Word of God say? God created light. In creation, is there light? And I'm not going to labor the thing time and time again, but you've got light, you've got earth and water, you've got vegetation, you've got the sun and moon, you've got ocean life and birds, you've got earth life like cattle. You've got all that He made in 131. You've got gold and precious stones in 212. And God blessed the seventh day. That's visible evangelism. It's getting these guys out. And I said, who made this? There's contractors there in Morris County. And I ask if any of the contractors ever built a universe. None of them have. Well, who did then? Who did? God conscious, God conscious, God conscious. Oh, my. That's where you start. Because they say most Americans believe in God. Why do they believe in God? Oh, they have observed, I suppose, creation. But what have they gone into? They've suppressed truth. So how do we get them to unsuppress? You go from creation to recreation or redemption, you see. You go to redemption. And it's so wonderful to see how this does it, because there's light. And that's something that I can observe. Now, when I deal with these particular individuals, first of all, we've had a good time with them. Now, sometimes it gets kind of raw, and the Christian owners of the coffee shop will say, this is a coffee shop, it's not a bar. Maybe some of you understand the difference. All right. And he said to those people, you know, I'm praying along with you that other men, we've got two men, and I'll just call them Tom and Larry. And all of a sudden, Tom has told me that he's working in the heaven by being good and that Jesus isn't the only way. And I said, well, that's interesting. You're talking about Jesus. Why don't we try to get to know him better and see what he has to say about it? Well, I'm not quite ready for that. Okay, that's fine. There's no pressure on you at all. Larry comes to me and he says, now don't let any of the men know about this, but he said, I'm listening to preachers on TV now. I said, what's your first impression? They want my money. I said, but have you got anybody that really seems to get down to earth and give you something that you can chew on? And he said, yes, there's a person. He told me who it was. All right. So when I deal with sight evangelism, I find that Genesis 1 and 2 and 3, there's great fascination with that. Now, I will start to teach them simply that the Old Testament gives us the character of God, the Father especially, but the Godhead. And the Gospels give us the work of Christ. And then from Acts on you have rest. Character, work, rest. Character, work, rest. The character of God does the work of God so that I can have inner rest and peace like Hebrews 3 and 4. And you know, we have such a good time in these places because one man comes up to me and he says, Ralph, you know why I like this? And he said, people would just go nuts if they knew I was studying the Bible. He said, you don't condemn us. And I said, I don't have to, because God in John 3:17 has condemned us all already. You know the verse that follows John 3:16. You know that. Now, some people may think this is a real shallow, messy. No, it's not. It's what we need to do. We need to go out among those people. And remember, when we were in Austin, one time a bunch of us took a survey, and I don't know how accurate it was. We can't say plus or minus five or whatever it was. Only 16% of the people went to church on a Sunday morning in Austin, Texas. That's a number of years ago. However, in Dallas and in Houston, it was up to 40%. Really interesting. You're in a very strategic town, not only to have evangelism, where people are led to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and where here they can grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and come to that area of maturity. Somebody the other day looked at me and said something of the fact that I must be mature. I said, yes, in certain areas, I'm sure, but I tell you, there's other areas. I'm a type A. I'm an impatient person. I don't like tailgaters. I find it hard to be on the highway anymore. We bronze have anger problems. And I said, you can see me in the best of me, but I tell you, God's grace is still doing His work. I still have so much to learn as far as God's Word is concerned. And I'll tell you, out there, to be understanding and to be able to minister to people in the Lord is so needed today. Everywhere I go, there's needs. Everywhere I go, people are asking, what's the Bible about? What's happening to our country? What happens if the Muslims get into power in this country? What's happening to us? Are we Christians not getting with the truth? Yes. Evangelism by sight and by faith. You know why Romans is written after chapter 1? As it talks about, you have sight, and you see God, and you become conscious, you want to know more about Him. He's a personal God. He wants us to know Him, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable to His image. He wants us to know Him. And I think probably now when I look at Hugh down here, and he has such a burden for evangelism, and I've kind of always envied that, and I was kind of always wondering, what's Hugh's secret? Now, he's pastored out there on the West Coast and survived. I mean, you know, that's really something. We had somebody ask us when we were on the West Coast when we'd been married 25 years. You married 25 years? Wow, that's a lifetime out here on the West Coast. Yeah, it could be. But this whole burden he has, and he's a pastor as well as an evangelist, see? And it goes together, doesn't it? It goes together. It goes together. But also, the examination goes together. The testing, the heartache, the disappointments, the things where I fall short, when I fall flat on my face. The times when Paul Cassette told me here as a sheriff employee, you know, I think in Austin Bible Church you better put on a vest, bulletproof vest. That happened in another church. What have I done? I'm just giving the gospel out. Well, some people from other churches who were unsaved got saved and they came over to our church. Uh-oh. That didn't work too well, did it? Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. And you know that Great Commission goes all the way through the church age, all through the tribulation, until the millennial is set up, the thousand-year reign of Christ. That's an unbelievable span of time. We haven't really seen evangelism. That's going to be in the tribulation period. It's going to be a tremendous time before the Lord. I want to get one point across in this keynote message, and it's simply this. Use sight evangelism. Use creation. And then the rest of Romans, have them believe in the Son of God. They'll go all the way from creation to recreation. And the more that I'm dealing with creation, the people are saying, man, you're making me hungry for the Word of God. You're really showing me what this is all about. And you mean that person in the universe wants to know me? Yes. He had you personally in mind when he went to the cross and died there for your sins. Sins. What in the world are those? Well, let's talk about sin. And so we do. Now, how you approach that is quite interesting, because they will say, I'm a good person. My deeds have done more good than bad. And I often say, well, you'd be a good neighbor then. You wouldn't be hard to love. You ever commit one sin?
Yeah.
Well, that needs forgiven. Even if it's only one. They always admit the one. You'd be surprised what it is when they name it. And I say to them, would you like to know what it is to have peace of mind about your destiny? I say, we're all eternal. It's where we're going to end up. Receiving Christ as your own personal Savior. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Him. You know, I'm right in the middle of people coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Church growth in our area is when everybody moves out of the East Christian Church into the West Christian Church. Then they get fed up there and they go back to the East Christian Church. Somebody says, boy, my church is really growing. I said, oh, you've been leading people to Christ? No, you know, they all came over from the other church. They didn't like the pastor. I said, well. But the unreached are reachable. The unreached are reachable. Each one of you has someone that trusts you, that does not know Christ as Savior, that you can give the gospel to. And I'll tell you what, even if you give it in a ragged way, the Spirit of God is able to take that and make it clear. Just do it. Just do it. Paul said, I shrunk not back from declaring the whole purpose of God. The first point in the purpose of God is creation evangelism. In the universe, in Christ. Think about it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this congregation. This is a miracle. I remember back in the days when we thought for a short while about building. And somebody said, well, you'll have to get 42 permits. You'll have to spend tens of thousands of dollars to get them. That'll drag on for 4 years. Well, Father, by the grace of God, this edifice stands. Thank you, Father. And I pray that this assembly place might be used, and it is going to be used, for the glory of God the Father. That you're going to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. And so, Heavenly Father, renew within us a revived spirit. Work in us both the will and to do of your good pleasure. Use the Word of God in our lives. Might we submerged, immersed, might we totally drown in your truth, that your truth might surface to those who need Christ and those who need built up in the faith. We pray this with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.